RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia's easy of doing business ranking improves. China to build $5 billion US industrial park in West Java. 10% increase on Chinese tourist arrival during free visa policy. Now the news in detail. Bank Indonesia Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Aditya Suara said in Surabaya on Thursday that Indonesia has improved its ease of doing business ranking this year and is expected to improve again in next year's World Bank Ease of Doing Business report. Mirza said that this year's report indicates an improvement in national business and investment processes. Indonesia's ranking in the report stands at 109, up 11 places from 2014. The ranking is out of 189 countries surveyed in World Bank Group's Ease of Doing Business 2016 survey. In the survey, which used data from Jakarta and Surabaya from June 2, 2014 to June 1, 2015, the World Bank looked at the ease of carrying out three aspects of doing business, starting a business, getting credit, and paying taxes. China Minsheng Investment Corporation, an international private financial investment group with $8 billion in registered capital, will build a $5 billion industrial park in West Java as part of the One Belt, One Road strategy of the Chinese government to boost connectivity and commerce between Asia and Europe. The giant industrial project was one of the main subjects of discussion of the second meeting of CMI's Global Advisory Council in Singapore on Thursday. Member of CMI's Global Advisory Council Suryo Bambang Sulisto said that his side welcomes the project as it fits well with the Indonesian government's target to develop more manufacturing industries and generate more jobs. He said Indonesian government had launched 5 reform package in the last 40 days to make it easier for investors to do business in Indonesia. He also added that both Indonesia and China's economy will complement each other. CMI Chairman Dong Wen Biao stated that preparation for the Indonesian industrial park are well advanced, including a $1.6 million talent development program to train Indonesian workers. Free visa policy that has been applied in Indonesia since June has been able to increase the number of foreign tourists to Indonesia. This has become a positive impact for Indonesia that begins a new step to introduce the natural beauty, culture, and unique tradition of Indonesia in the world. During the interview with In Voice of Indonesia on Thursday, October 29, 2015, the Deputy Assistant of Indonesian Tourism Ministry for Asia-Pacific Region, Vincentius Jemadu, explained that the increase of Chinese tourists begins to rise since the visa-free policy is applied.
And that's why in June, the government has issued the presidential decree of 69, stipulating that 30 countries are eligible or are granted visa-free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this policy got a very positive response from those countries.
Right.
And it showed an increase in the arrivals. Let me give you an example for during the visa-free policy in June and until the August,
yep,
there has been an increase in the arrivals for Chinese tourists, more than 20%.
Yep.
And that's why the second policy of the government is to give visa-free to another 45 countries. So now in total, there have been 90 countries eligible for visa-free.
Vincentius added that Indonesia really has a positive impact from the policy. Research is also done by the Indonesian Tourism Ministry using the passenger exit survey to know how much money they spend during the visit to Indonesia. In the middle of the economic slowdown globally, Indonesia still has the positive domino effect. It is expected with applying free visa policy in 90 other countries, 20 billion foreign tourist arrivals in 2016 will be achieved. The Melanesian Culture Festival, which has been held since October 26th, officially closed on Thursday in Taman Budaya Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. The festival was closed by the Regional Secretary, East Nusa Tenggara Province, Andreas Jehalu, representing the Governor of East Nusa Tenggara. The closing ceremony was attended by delegates from several countries in Melanesia regions, representatives of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, as well as hundreds of local people, in his speech, Andrea said that East Nusa Tenggara has the largest population of the Melanesian race in Indonesia. This great festival is the recognition that East Nusa Tenggara includes in the Melanesian region in Indonesia, in addition to Papua and Maluku. This recognition will be maintained faithfully and proudly as loyalty and pride as we become part of Melanesia. Based on the historical background, Melanesia is sub-region of Oceania extending from West Pacific Ocean to the Arafura Sea in the East Fiji. This area covers most of the island in the north and northeast Australia. On the occasion, Andreas also said the meaning of the word of Melanesia. He said that Melanesia derived from the Greek, which is Nessos, and Melas means black island. That is because the characteristic of the population is black. According to Andreas, the festival aims to establish friendship and cooperation between countries in the South Pacific region. Melanesian race spread in seven countries consists of Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Timor-Leste, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, and Fiji. Meanwhile, head of Sub-Directorate Foreign Culture Diplomacy, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, Restu Gunawan, said the presence of delegates from the countries of Melanesia show a sense of fraternity to help each other and cooperate in achieving common progress, especially in the fields of culture. Chief of the Indonesia Sea Security Agency, Bakamla, Vice Admiral Desi Albert Mamahit discussed possible areas of cooperation with United States Coast Guard Commander Admiral Paul F. Tunkunft in Washington, USA. According to a written press statement from Bakamla received in Jakarta on Thursday, the talks were held during President Joko Widodo's recent visit to the United States. Mamahit expressed hope that cooperation with the United States Coast Guard will be realized to increase the capacity of Bakamla and its human resources. He also spoke of the possibility of Bakamla personnel being imparted education or training in the field of sea security in the United States to improve technical capabilities in carrying out their jobs. The chief of Bakamla and commander of the United States Coast Guard also exchanged views on the development of sea security in Southeast Asia and the Pacific, Asia-Pacific. The Bakamla chief stated that any cooperation to be built would be based on principles of equality and legally non-binding and mutual understanding, although they would not be part of a memorandum of understanding. Indonesia's Energy Minister Sudirman Said stated that Indonesia will make the United States its strongest partner for developing the country's energy sector. Speaking in during his flight from Amsterdam to Abu Dhabi after accompanying President Joko Widodo on U.S. visit, Minister Sudirman Said said that the United States has rich experience and knowledge in the field of energy. In the meeting with President Widodo, the United States President Obama had expressed readiness to become a strong partner of Indonesia in developing clean energy to mitigate the effects of climate change. According to Sudirman, energy management in Indonesia has long lacked scientific aspects and has been trapped in the short-term political transaction approach. He said Indonesia's renewable energy potential in particular is still huge, such as hydropower, which can reach 75,000 megawatts, geothermal 42,000 megawatts, wind, sun, and biofuel. The recent visit of President Joko Widodo to Washington has succeeded in attracting a U.S. company which is looking to invest $1 billion U.S. in Indonesia electricity project. Deputy for Control and Implementation on Investment of Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Azhar Lubis said in a press statement released on Thursday that the investment will be made in the next 5 years. However, Azhar Lubis mentioned that the total amount would not be invested only in the electricity sector but also in the health, oil and gas sector. In addition to the electricity sector, BKPM Chief Frankie Sibarani also held a meeting with one of the U.S. companies operating in the pharmaceutical field. The company expressed an interest in investing in research and development facilities. The BKPM recorded the United States' interest in investing in the creative economy worth $40 million U.S. dollars. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia's ease of doing business ranking improves. China to bid $5 billion U.S. dollars industrial park in West Java. 10% increase on Chinese tourist arrival during free visa policy. That was the news from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary,
entitled The Conflict in Syria, More Complicated. Listeners, since Russia has been present in Syria, the situation is getting worse. Seeing the situation today, the U.S. and Europe take side with the moderate militia against President Bashar al-Assad, and they are simultaneously combating against ISIS and the Russian. And the Russian front does support the government of President Assad while it was... And the Russian front does support the government of President Assad while it also combats against ISIS. Head of the CIA, John Brennan, in an intelligence conference in Washington, USA on Tuesday, October 27, expressed a apathetic opinion that military solution is impossible to be implemented in some countries in the Middle East, including Syria. It was almost impossible to restore the situation in the Middle East as the conflict occurred before. The same opinion was also presented by the head of the External Intelligence Agency, DGSE of France, Bernard Bachelet. For him, the Middle East is disbanded, and he is doubtful that normal circumstances could be back in the region. Bachelet shows an example of Syria that has been split. Currently, Assad's regime only controls a third of Syrian territory, while the northern region of the country is controlled by Kurds. Since Russia has involved in the conflict, it is more difficult to know who is friend and who is foe. Conflict situation is really wild. There are a regime of government, rebel groups, jihad paramilitary troops, and other elements from outside Syria who have fought each other. All can be friends or enemies, depending on the location of the battlefront. However, the rebels accuse the army-backed regime of Russia, and Iran is also thought to help the group ISIS after the onslaught against rebel strongholds in the north of Aleppo. By contrast, in South Aleppo, rebels are trying to prevent the entry of government troops. Seemingly, full conflict situations in Syria have to be ended by the U.S. through a more civilized way, namely a diplomatic approach. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, in a speech in Washington, USA, said that the United States wants to find a better solution of hell in Syria. The diplomatic efforts is made by holding a meeting of some foreign ministers of several countries involved in the Syrian conflict. The foreign ministers of Britain, France, Germany, Egypt, Lebanon, and the European Union ensure their attendance. Iran is also going to be present at the meeting, which also involves Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Russia. Will these diplomatic efforts be successful? The international community is looking forward to seeing the concrete outcome of this diplomatic effort. And listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from October 30th, 1910. Jan Henry Dunan passes away. Jan Henry Dunan, or better known as Henry Dunan, was the Swiss businessman and social activist. When traveling for business in 1859, he witnessed the consequences of the Battle of Severino, a location which is now part of Italy. The memories and experiences that he wrote in a book entitled A Memory of Severino
which inspired the formation of the International Committee of the Red Cross ICRC in 1863. The 1864 Geneva Convention was based on Dunant's ideas. In 1901, Dunant received the first Nobel Peace Prize ever awarded, namely for his role in founding the International Red Cross Movement and initiating the establishment of the Geneva Convention. On October 30, 1945, Brigadier General Malabi, a leader of Allied forces, died in Surabaya and triggering the November 10th tragedy. The Battle of Surabaya was fought between pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and militia against British and British Indian troops as a part of the Indonesian National Revolution. The peak of the battle was in November 1945. The battle was the heaviest single battle of the revolution and became a national symbol of Indonesian resistance. Considered a heroic effort by Indonesians, the battle helped galvanize Indonesian and international support for Indonesian independence. By the time the Allied forces arrived at the end of October 1945, the youth foothold in Surabaya city was described as a strong, unified fortress. Ferocious fighting erupted on 30 of October when 600 Indian troops perished alongside the British commander, Brigadier Malabi. The British retaliated with a punitive sweep that began on November 10th under the cover of air attacks. Despite the military defeat suffered by the Republicans and the loss of manpower and weaponry that would severely hamper Republican forces for the rest of the revolution, the battle and defense mounted by the Indonesians galvanized the nation in support of independence and helped garner international attention. On October 30, 1946, uang or currency of the Republic of Indonesia began circulating. Uang, Republic of Indonesia or ORI, is the first currency owned by the Republic of Indonesia after its independence. The government viewed that it was necessary to issue its own money, which not only served as legal tender, but also as the main emblem of an independent state. ORI was signed by the then Minister of Finance, A. Maramis. On the same day, it was stated that the Japanese currency and money Java Sea Bank no longer valid. ORI was firstly printed by Kanisis Printing with a simple design with two colors with safety delicate fibers. Former President Sukarno became a figure which most often appeared in the design of ORI banknotes and banknote series ORI II published in Yogyakarta on January 1, 1947. ORI 3 series in Yogyakarta on July 26, 1947, ORI New series in Yogyakarta on August 17, 1949, and Republic of Indonesia Red series in Jakarta on January 1, 1950. On May 1946, when the atmosphere in Jakarta precarious, the Indonesian government decided to continue printing ORI in rural areas, such as in Yogyakarta, Surakarta, and Malang. That was today's segment of Today in History. Bye for now.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Focus. Today's edition entitled Increasing Promotion of Clean or Halal Tourism. Listener, as the largest Muslim nation in the world, Indonesia has become a major destination of halal tourism in the world. Indonesia needs to increase promotion of clean or halal tourism. The director of Institute of Food, Drugs and Cosmetics Assessment, Indonesian Ulama Council, in Jakarta on Monday, Lukmanul Hakim said, "It is a key to improve the strength of Indonesian halal tourism." He said that if the government agreed to support the increase in halal tourism promotion with the utmost strength and inject the funds, the result will be maximal. Halal Products Observer Anton Apriantono said, "There are two challenges faced by Indonesia to establish itself as a major halal tourism destination in the world. The two things are, among others, public awareness and government support." Currently, according to him, public awareness on halal still lacking. He pointed out that food products of famous branded which have not received halal certificate remains enjoyed by the community. Alcoholic drinks are still easily found at discotheque, hotels and restaurants. Besides a lack of government support in disseminating and encouraging compliance with the provisions of halal, Anton Apriantono suggested the government can make zoning lawful that guaranteed halal exactly. Meanwhile, other areas that have not been certified of halal must continue to be guided by the government. For example, Lombok is now appreciated as a good halal tourism destination. It should be followed by total improvements and should be helped by the government. Meanwhile, the honorary advisor to the Indonesian Minister of Tourism, Sabta Nirwandar, in Jakarta on Tuesday said halal tourism will not damage plurality in Indonesia. According to him, halal tourism will indeed give more value than a tourism destination. To promote the Indonesian halal tourism, a number of things need to be done, including improving the facilities for Muslim tourists. Indonesia should have facilities that provide comfort to the Muslim travelers. Sabta Nirwandar explained, for Muslim tourists, the most sensitive is the food and drinks. Therefore, halal tourism destinations must provide restaurants serving halal food and beverages. Meanwhile, it also needed a facility that allows Muslims to worship, such as direction of Qiblat or direction of prayer, places for wudu or purification and prayer. He said the government has established 13 halal tourism destinations, while three provinces has become a good example, the province of Aceh, West Sumatra, and West Nusa Tenggara. That was Focus.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, October 30, 2015. I'm Rahmawati. We begin with Media Indonesia, which is in its headline, wrote, "Market Hopes State Budget Certainty." The certainty of 2016 state budget ratification today is expected by many, especially the country's market players. They will give positive response if the House accepted the 2016 state budget draft, because it will keep the development in progress. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said, if accepted in the plenary session, it reflects Indonesian institution discipline, especially the government and the House. He added the ratification can give certainty in realizing the 2016 development. Most factions in the House agreed with the draft, save for Gerindra. Still on the 2016 state budget, Republika wrote, state budget draft in tough discussion. Budgetary body of the House from Hanura faction, Dadang Rusdiana, said, initially all factions rejected the 2016 state budget draft. But after changes, only Gerindra stayed consistent. Meanwhile, Great Indonesia Coalition, or KIH, as government supporter, had accepted it. According to Dadang, if the condition persisted, the ratification of the budget draft would be taken through voting. Vice Chairman of Commission 11 from Gerindra, Gus Irawan Pasaribu, explained, Gerindra refused the 2016 state budget draft because the income target is too big, potentially increasing national debt. In the temporary posture in the draft accepted by the budgetary body, the tax income target is 1,546 trillion rupiah. Listener, we end today's headlines with Tempo, government conceals the forest arsonist. The government persisted in keeping the corporation allegedly burning Kalimantan and Sumatran land and forests in secret. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said revealing the company names will affect the employment due to work termination. However, Luhut said all corporates and individuals proven burning the land and forests will be prosecuted indiscriminately. Vice Chairman of House's Legal Commission, Benny Kabur Harman, urged the government to reveal the company identities involved in the forest and land fire. The identity corporation revealed to the public is expected to create social control. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. Bank Indonesia Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Aditya Swara said in Surabaya on Thursday that Indonesia has improved its ease of doing business ranking this year and is expected to improve again in next year's World Bank Ease of Doing Business report. China Minsheng Investment Corporation, CMI, an international private financial investment group with $8 billion US in registered capital, will build a $5 billion US industrial park in West Java as part of the One Belt, One Road strategy of the Chinese government to boost connectivity and commerce between Asia and Europe. Free visa policy that has been applied in Indonesia since June had been able to increase the number of foreign tourists to Indonesia. The Melanesian Culture Festival, which has been held since October 26, officially closed on Thursday at Taman Budaya Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. The festival was closed by the Regional Secretary, East Nusa Tenggara Province, Andreas Jehalu, representing the Governor of East Nusa Tenggara. Chief of Indonesia Sea Security Agency, Bakamla, Vice Admiral Desi Albert Mamahit discussed possible areas of cooperation with United States Coast Guard Commander Admiral Paul F. Junkunft in Washington, USA. Indonesia's Energy Minister Sudirman Said stated that Indonesia will make the United States its stronger partner for developing the country's energy sector. The recent visit of President Joko Widodo to Washington has succeeded in attracting a U.S. company which is looking to invest $1 billion US in Indonesian electricity projects. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you the specific cuisine in Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. listeners, on Sunday, October 25, 2015, many of participants from all residences in Yogyakarta province joined DIY Culinary Festival 2015 or Yogyakarta Culinary Festival 2015 in Giriloyo Tourism Village, Yogyakarta. The festival, which was held to introduce a variety of Yogyakarta's typical culinary, held a competition of cooking traditional foods from Yogyakarta, such as sate klatak, gudeg manggar, ingkung, and letek noodle. The choices of the types of culinary are intended to make the traditional foods that began to rise, which are no less famous than gudeg, bakpia, or geplak, the famous ones. From the four types of culinary that being completed in Yogyakarta Culinary Festival 2015, the culinary called ingkung is quite special. Ingkung also become umbi rampe, or the completeness of the offering in traditional Japanese ritual. Ingkung actually is chicken, which is cooked and served wholly and become a symbol of willingness. Ingkung become a sign of total devotion, a symbol that there is a willingness to give something without deducting the slightest. In addition, the presence of ingkung in ritual mean to purify those who have an event of salvation and also the guest. Formally, ingkung in the Java society is not consumed daily because it is only held for ritual purposes. But now, ingkung can be enjoyed daily. In fact, many restaurants in Yogyakarta are serving culinary ingkung now. Ingkung is processed in three ways, namely fried, baked, and broiled. Ingkung that used in rituals is cooked by steaming. To make ingkung, first the whole chicken meat is soaked with coconut milk flavored with salam leaf, lemongrass, ginger, and brown sugar. This process makes ingkung tasty. Before soaked with coconut milk, remove the entrails of the chicken. Inside ingkung, then enter the spices in the form of coriander, onion, garlic, ginger, and salam leaf. The infiltration of the seasoning makes ingkung taste savory. Moreover, if using chicken that grow in villages, the taste of it will be more real and yummy. Listeners, after chicken is spiced, then the chicken can be steamed, fried or baked, depending on the taste of the customers. Ingkung is served with a wide selection of vegetables, such as cha kangkung and trancam, the form of cut vegetables with a sprinkling of grated coconut. Many restaurants in Jogja, the customers eat ingkung by sitting on the floor. One portion of ingkung is enough to eat for 3 or 4 people. It costs about 80,000 rupiah to 90,000 rupiah per portion. So please taste the typical chicken food when you plan to visit Yogyakarta. Listener, that was the end of today's Indonesian Wonder with a topic of about Ingkung, typical food from Yogyakarta. Tomorrow we will back with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me Rahma on Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the Indonesian Film Festival, or FFE. It's been 60 years that the Indonesian film industry has gone through ups and downs to make Indonesian people love films made by the nation. The development of film industry in Indonesia is indeed not as rapid as film industry in Hollywood or Bollywood. Slowly but sure, the Indonesian film industry built foundation in order to stand steadily. To give information about Indonesian film to Indonesian people, the Indonesian film industry has an awarding event for Indonesian filmmakers, which has begun since 1955. Festival Film Indonesia, or the Indonesian Film Festival, that's the name of the awarding event. It is one precious night for filmmakers who dedicated their life in this industry. This year, Festival Film Indonesia will be held in the city of Tangerang, Banten on November 23, 2015 at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition. Media that always accompany the performance of Indonesian filmmakers now get a gift, namely facility for media to spread information about Festival Film Indonesia. A media center in the 16th floor of the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry in Central Jakarta is available for journalists. This media center was launched on Tuesday, October 27, 2015. Olga Lydia, Indonesian actress, is selected as the chief executive of Festival Film Indonesia this year. She successfully invites the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry to go hand-in-hand to make Indonesian people fall in love again with the film of the nation. Although it is difficult, Olga feels happy to get support from the government to hold Festival Film Indonesia this year.
Saya senang banget karena FFI ini didukung oleh Kementerian Pendidikan Kebudayaan. Dan ini menunjukkan bahwa pemerintah memang betul-betul serius gitu dengan dunia perfilman di tengah kendala-kendala yang ada, tapi FFI ini karena
I'm so happy that Festival Film Indonesia or FFE is supported by the Ministry of Education and Culture. It shows that the government seriously manages film industry amid obstacles. FFE is the oldest film festival in Indonesia since 1955. I hope it can be barometer for filmmakers so that they feel that their hard work is appreciated. But audience is also important because filmmakers will be nothing without audience.
Menurut aktor itu sendiri, memang dia itu yang paling bagus misalnya. Atau menurut kameramen sendiri, ternyata gambarnya ini yang paling bagus gitu. Lima terbaik ini yang terbaik gitu. Jadi juga suatu apa ya... dialog lah dengan penonton Indonesia dengan mereka melihat hasil yang ada gitu.
Olga also expressed her hope for Festival Film Indonesia. Through 100 judges who have been carefully selected, it is expected that there will not be conflict which stirs controversy.
Jurinya itu memang ada 100, jadi semua sistemnya voting. One man, one vote.
There are 100 judges. The system is voting. One man, one vote. No discussion for films. We hope we can watch together because there are some films that they want to watch in cinema. But we always emphasize to them that there is no discussion. So we have select each judge carefully. They have amazing experience and accomplishment. We believe that every judge is able to determine 5 best films.
Tiap juri yang kami pilih itu memang bisa untuk menentukan 5 film terbaiknya itu.
With the selection of 100 judges, Festival Film Indonesia is expected to run well this year because only selected people can become judges in Festival Film Indonesia. With the awakening of filmmakers from their long sleep, the Indonesian film industry is expected to sit back on its throne, which have been taken in its own country. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on Festival Film Indonesia, or the Indonesian Film Festival awarding event. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer, Chacha Handika, who was popular in 80s through his popular album, Angka Satu. Well, listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Chacha Handika entitled Mandi Kembang. Happy listening. Chacha Hermanto, better known as Chacha Handika, is a dangdut singer who is popular with his hits such as Undangan Palsu, Mandi Kembang, and Bakar Kemenyan. Besides singing, Chacha Handika is also good at designing batik motif and starring sinetron or soap opera Kampung Dangdut in 2006 with other singers like Roma Irama, the king of dangdut. Before we move on, listener, let's enjoy a song by Chacha Handika entitled Tanda Cinta. Enjoy the song. Still listening to Music Corner with Chacha Handika. And listener, as a singer and also sinetron actor, Chacha Handika is also dangdut song composer. His popular songs that he composed including Angka Satu, Bakar Kemenyan, and Gantungan Baju. In addition, in 2014, Chacha Handika openly gave support to Jokowi and Prabowo as the presidential candidates at that time. And beside that, he also proved his support in political activities like campaign to various areas to help the victory of the presidential candidates. Well, listener, that's a glimpse of Chacha Handika. And to end the program, here are two songs entitled Pelaminan Biru and Jangan Mengharap. Happy listening to the songs, and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Kau bagaikan Rahwana. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.